message will be found in the third chapter of Acts. Acts, the third chapter, and we'll begin with verse 8. But before we do that, let's have a little background so we'll know where we are. Jesus has died on the cross. His body has been placed in the tomb. His body is there 3 days and 3 nights. But His Spirit goes to 2 places. I do not have the time to go to all the Scriptures to give you background for what I'm going to say. I'm only summarizing. But you can check me out in your own time in the Bible. His Spirit goes into Sheol. Sheol is the place of the dead. We know by the teachings of Jesus that it is divided, that place, into 2 areas of the gulf in between. The rich man went to one part, Lazarus the other. Jesus went and preached His Spirit to the people who were in that place. He also ascended His Spirit to the altar in heaven, the true altar. Every altar we have here is only a human thing. But He put His blood on the altar in heaven. And after you accept Christ as your personal and eternal Savior, I mean you really have put your trust in Him from time and eternity. And when Satan comes to the place where Jesus is the right hand of God, and he says, accuses you, the old accuser of those who are saved. And when he does that, Jesus points him to the blood, and he has to shut up. You belong to Him, Jesus. And that's the most wonderful thing in all of time and eternity. Then He came forth, His body came forth out of the grave, and for 40 days He preached on the earth. Then He went to the Mount of Olives and ascended to heaven to the right hand of God. Time has passed now, and Peter and John, 2 fishermen who had given up their business to follow Jesus and become apostles. The church has met on the day of Pentecost. I believe that Pentecost as a date for the Jews will be celebrated on Tuesday, I believe, of this week. But the church has met on the day of Pentecost in prayer. And the Holy Spirit comes and fills the church. And now Peter and John, sometime later, are going to the Temple Mount to pray. And while they go past the beautiful gate. And there at the beautiful gate is someone who has been there for many, many years. Has to be carried and placed there, picked up and taken away. He's never walked. He's never known the joy of anything as far as being able to move about unless someone carried him. And when Peter and John come in, they heal him in the name of Jesus. And that brings us to verse 8 of the third chapter of the book of Acts. Verse 8. And he, the lame man, leaping, stood up and walked and entered in with them into the temple. Never been in there before because under the law of Moses, you were not allowed in there if you had a defect like he had. Thank God we're in the age of grace. The law has been... How are we in the age of grace? The law was fulfilled 100% by Jesus. And therefore the law has been fulfilled. Your responsibility is to believe on Him. I'll not turn to it, but the very last chapter of the Gospel of John, it talks about many things that Jesus did that was not written in the Bible. But He said, these things that are written are written that you might put your trust in Christ and have everlasting life. So this man now for the first time is leaping and jumping and praising God. And the Bible says, all the people, be careful about all the people. What I'm going to say now, you may not agree with. Democracy is not the answer.
No, it's not. Amen.
The kingdom of God is the answer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, and I'll translate it a little bit differently, will be taken care of.
Amen.
Things are taken care of by putting God's kingdom first. His kingdom is in you right now. One day He's coming back and His feet will touch the Mount of Olives. It'll split in two and He'll come and take up the throne and reign and clean this whole dirty world up. What a thing it'll be. And all the people saw Him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was He. This one thing they knew. Sad they didn't know anymore. And they knew that it was He that sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. I have to tell you this about those of us who are in the flesh, and that's all of us. You get tired. You get to where you do not have any feelings toward those who are sitting helpless by the beautiful gate. But by the Spirit of God, you can overcome that resentment and say, except for the grace of God, there goes me. And that's what will make me have great sympathy and great love for those who need for me and are you to reach out our hand and give them something that they need. And it's always a blessing that you have the chance to reach out your hand. And Peter reached out his hand and the man was healed. The Bible says these people who saw him leaping and praising God, that they were filled with wonder. That means they didn't understand how that could have happened. And they were amazed at that which had happened to him. Now, I want you to know out of this great miracle that 3,000 people had already accepted Christ on the day of Pentecost. And now out of this experience of this man being healed, 5,000 accept Jesus.
Wow, praise God.
Oh, listen. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter, he just wanted to touch this man one more time because it was his hand that God used to lift him up. So this man, after he's walked all over and danced all over the Temple Mount, praising God, he comes back over and he gets a hold of Simon Peter. And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. What's going on here? What's really happening? They don't know. And then Peter, when he saw that they were getting more involved with Peter and John than the Jesus who raised them from this man up, and when Peter saw it, he answered the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye earnestly on us? Why are you looking at me, two fishermen that God called to preach the gospel and take it to all mankind? Why are you so earnestly looking on us? Get your eyes off of every human being and look beyond them to Jesus. You can't find salvation in me or any other human being. Get to Jesus. Let Jesus be the one. And why do you so earnestly look on us? As though by our own power and holiness we had made this man walk. And there are people who are preaching that you've got to get holy and you've got to get totally without sin, and then maybe God can use you to work a miracle. Well, that's a lie. It's not my holiness. It's not your holiness. It's Christ in you and me. The hope of glory. Let's believe that. And not only believe it, let's walk in it. And then he gives them some history. The God of Abraham. That goes back to the Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham's father was a maker of idols that he sold. That's how he made his living. And God looked down and said, Abraham, I want you to leave all that. And I'm going to take you and make you a blessing. And these people knew about that, how that God had given them there, what they have and the promise they have, that I'll bless them that bless thee and I'll curse them that curse thee. And the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. If a miracle, if the purpose of a miracle, this is important, is not to glorify Jesus, then it is a sin. It must be. If I'm asking God to do anything except to, through what He does to glorify Jesus, I'm no better off than the most absolute atheist. It's Jesus! Let's get on fire for Him. I don't know what's happening to me, but an urgency has taken hold of me. And it's an urgency that we've got to, there's something unable to put into words. It's getting ready to happen. And we need to leave this assembly of God totally filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And there's only one thing you do. You just say, come on in, Spirit. Come into me and take care of everything I'm not and help me to be everything that you demand for me to be. The God of our fathers hath glorified His Son, Jesus, whom He delivered up. You delivered Him up. I did. In the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let Him go. What a contrast. Here are the people who are the chosen people of God on the Temple Mount. And here is Pilate, a Roman bureaucrat, and he wanted to let Jesus go. But they said, well, I'll just go ahead and read it to you. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted to you. Now, this is a very difficult thing to say, but it's true. If you have rejected Jesus, then you have accepted a murderer and a thief. You are worshiping the most evil that man can know. It's either Jesus or evil. It's either heaven or hell. It's either salvation or damnation. You killed, verse 15, you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. Wherefore, you are witnesses. And so am I, and so are you. I know He arose. And His name, the name of Jesus, through faith in His name, there it is right there. The faith in His name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. You know about it. You can't deny. This is not smoke and mirrors. This is not hypnotism. I wish that I didn't have to tell you this. But many who claim that Jesus is healing through them use hypnosis.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
You say, how can I be sure? Just depend on Jesus. The old song, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh yes, that's the answer. I tell you, I'm on fire about that today. Look out! Don't get close to it if you don't want to get burned. Hallelujah! But it'll be a good burn. It'll be a good branding. You'll have the right brand. And His name, through faith, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness. In the presence of you all, you have seen it. And since you have seen it happen, you have become responsible. 5,000 of the people on that Temple Mount turned to Jesus. This now makes 8,000 at the day of Pentecost. And now, brethren, I wot not that through ignorance you did it, as did your rulers. They were willingly ignorant of who the Messiah would really be. Starting back with Adam and Eve, when God told Eve, out of your seed will come the Messiah. Out of this, not the seed of man, but the seed of a woman. The Holy Spirit came and activated Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He said, you have been so ignorant. And all the way through the Bible, there are pictures of Jesus not coming back the first time with an army to defeat Rome, but to come back and save human beings. Now, one day He's coming. I'll be preaching on that tonight from the book of Zechariah. How He's coming back again. But the first time He didn't come to destroy Rome. He came to save mankind. But when He comes back with the army of God, and you and I are behind Him shouting with glory, I'm going to be a part of that possession. That great parade. You know, forgive me for being so such an old fuddy-dud. I don't like parades. Let me tell you how much I don't like them. When I was in North Africa, working in the finance office there in the Air Force, I knew that once a month you had to go out and parade. You know what I did? I worked every Saturday morning so that I didn't have to do it once. So you can see I don't have anything to do with parades. That's okay if you do. I'm not criticizing you. You have your likes and dislikes. I'll tell you what will happen though, as time goes by, the closer you get to Jesus, the more likes you'll have that are right. And the more things you'll have that are not right, it won't matter. God bless you all there on the front. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And now, brethren, I knew you did this through ignorance. Think about it. A human being with a brain and with an ear, not believing the Old Testament and all it said about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. But those things, verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that means everyone who wrote in the Old Testament, that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. He is through suffering. But you know what I can do? If I'm depressed, if I'm hurting, if no matter what's wrong with me that I am absolutely consumed by, I can take that suffering and get on the cross with Jesus. And I can take that suffering and say, Lord, if this must be, if this has to be, You're the sovereign God of the universe. I don't understand all this stuff. But would You let me take my suffering and make it fellowship with Your suffering? Oh, that will change everything. So Peter gives them the answer in verse 19. All you people, repent. Now repent has two basics. You're sad because of the way things are, and you are willing to let God change your mind and make you think the opposite of what you've been thinking, that there's a curse from Almighty God. Is there something in your life or my life that I'd like to get rid of? Then let's take it to the cross. Let's put it at the feet of Jesus. You say, Brother Bill, that's just too much. No, it's not enough. I challenge you and me. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And He then will reward you in eternity that you gave your suffering to Jesus and said, use it for Your honor and Your glory. Take every weakness that I have. You know, the Apostle Paul said that God is glorified in the weaknesses of human beings, not in their strength. So God, take my weaknesses, all of them, and I have them, and use them for Your honor and for Your glory. Repent therefore and be converted. Change. How? That your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God. Jesus is waiting today at the right hand of the Father for the Father to say, okay, son, it's enough. Go get them. Go back to the earth and rule and reign, and I'm going to lock the devil up in the bottomless pit for that 1,000 years. For all these thousands of years, people have blamed all their faults and failures on the devil. Now I'm going to lock him up for 1,000 years and you're going to be on the throne in Jerusalem and they won't have the excuse the devil made me do it.
I'm telling you, that's right.
For 1,000 years, there will be people who will not turn to Jesus. And at the end of the 1,000 years, they'll come and try to take him off the throne and get rid of him, and they're going to fail. He's going to take over. I feel sorry for people who do not believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. If you ever just go to a church to join it, ask them, what do you believe about the millennium? If they say, millennium, the A before it, that means no millennium. If they say post, That means they believe that we're going to get so good. And we're going to get so holy. And all of us are going to get so wonderful that God will say, you know, heaven's not as good as they are down there. They've made a heaven on earth. Is that happening?
No, it's not.
But it will happen when Jesus comes back.
Thank God.
Verse 20. You want to hear it? He shall send Jesus Christ. Jesus is His name. Christ is His title. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things. Jesus will come back and make this old earth a garden of Eden again, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began, since there was ever a man-made system. For Moses, are you listening? This is quoting from the Old Testament. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet, this is from the book of Deuteronomy, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. He'll live on this earth as a human being for 30-something years. For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And closing with these wonderful words in verse 23. Shh, listen. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in thy seed, Jesus. Not seeds, but in thy seed, S-E-E-D. That's Jesus. Shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And that word blessed means shall be able to overcome. And the Bible says it. I think about that sweet, poor lady who's being held, a sister in Christ. Today is being held in a prison in the Sudan. She's just given birth to a child. They didn't want to hang her until the child was born. And I have not heard from our president one word against that. I'm telling you that that woman, she's dying and will be hung for one reason. She refuses to renounce Jesus.
That's right.
And they're going to die. I pray to God she'll be saved and not hung. But if she is, there's going to be a lot of people who could have done something that'll have blood on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, the world hates anybody who believes in Jesus.
That's right. Absolutely.
Every other religion is acceptable.
But Christianity.
But not Jesus.
Not Jesus.
And He's the only acceptable that counts.
Right.
Leave here today. Would you leave here today burning and yearning to know that Jesus is Lord of all. And you're part of that great kingdom that's inside of you. Christ in you. The hope of glory.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. As we stand and sing, We'll have one verse of a song. You'll be dismissed if no one comes. And then we'll be down here after the service has been dismissed for any of you who need to come forward to have more time as we stand.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
There are so many people today who, like the lame man spiritually, they're sitting by the beautiful gate. And could it be your hand? I know she won't want me to do this, but Anita has started reaching out.
Yes, she has.
To people in prison. She's taken training. Her hand will reach out to those that nobody else will.
And lives will be changed.
And I'm thankful for what you're doing. You paid a great price to get it.
That's right.
But you're going to get, and you just have to jump on me later, okay? I just think we ought to have examples.
Amen.
Who do you need to reach out to?
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you're dismissed. Amen.